you're enjoying Aboriginal Voices on CFRC tonight. It is now 7 o'clock, and you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 on our FM station. And we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And this is our funding drive. It just started November 1st, so you're going to hear a little bit over the next 2 months, basically. And we're going to let you know what's happening. Interesting for me, CFRC is it's a hub. It's our community hub. And for Aboriginal Voices in particular, we depend on the people in the community to give us ideas or questions or to give us a focus. And that's what we're trying to do here is provide an opportunity for people to use CFRC FM 101.9 FM as your community hub for arts, news, entertainment, sharing stories. You know, even bringing questions forward and then hoping that we'll be able to try and answer them. Guide people to meet other people and to help support getting the answers. But if you make a gift today to CFRC, you can support our work and amplify local voices. And here at Aboriginal Voices, that's what we've tried to do since, well, we started and the whole idea started with a group of 12 people. How's that? Good number. Back in 1993, and it got started, and it was Little Red Radio at that time, and then they had changed the name, so and the timing, and we ended up September 1994 when I got started, and Gary Farmer was here, and then Sean Story came to be part of Aboriginal Voices, and Sean and I have been here since 1994. It's pretty funny to think how long we've been here, but we have brought community ideas and community people into the station, and don't be afraid. We have lots of room to set up for people. And ask Paul Carl. He really likes to go to makeup room and get ready before we go live on the air here on radio. But, you know, we're going to need some support and donating, especially this year, to Aboriginal Voices' award-winning work for amplifying local voices and talent. All you have to do is visit cfrc.ca, donate one of two ways. And I think that if you take a quick look at the website, you'll see the button that says donate, and you click on it and you can go one track that is to Queen's University, and you donate through Queen's University, and you end up getting a tax receipt for any donation you make, if that's what you would like. Or you can just donate directly through the website to get amazing free gifts. I'll have to go take a look and see in the list. I'll bet you they're live on the air there on the website. And they're from CFRC and also local sponsors. So take a look, see what's there. It might be something for you. And in fact, I would encourage you to come and be part of CFRC, see what happens here live in the studios, in the control room. And, you know, if you have ideas you want to share with us, we got a lot of feedback on our food security project that we ran for people. So, you know, I really enjoy hearing what people have to say and what's happening. Now, well, that's just a little bit of Don Ross. And, yeah, so this is our historical practice. I love that. This Historical Tracks is a show here at Aboriginal Voices where we're going to trace the musical lineage of the world's most innovative artists. And today, we're going to be sharing the extraordinary work of a Canadian fingerstyle master, Don Ross, a guitarist and a composer whose sound famously dubbed heavy wood. Now, put that in quotes, heavy wood, blending folk, jazz, classical, and more into his truly with his voice he's added in. And the song we're going to do is called Three Hands. Well, here's the story that goes with it. Don Ross is the only person to date to have won the United States National Finger Pick Guitar Championship twice. And a lot of his groundbreaking style is encapsulated in a piece from his 1992 album, Three Hands. The title track, Three Hands, perfectly describes the way he plays. It sounds like one player has the rhythm and the chords, and another has the melody, but it's all just him and his guitar. It is a sonic illusion that showcases his advanced technique of combining complex melodies with percussion slaps and taps on the guitar body, making it sound like a trio of instruments. It's a hallmark of the groovy bass, emotionally rich compositions that he built his career on. Three Hands. there you go. That was Midnight March by Don Ross. It's one of the greatest example of John Ross's rhythmic ingenuity. It's amazing to hear, you know, how he plays. I know many years ago he was here in Kingston, Ontario, and down one of the churches that was decommissioned, and Don Ross had it set up for a concert that he was going to be playing inside the church. And when he started playing there, he said, "This is perfect," because of the way his guitar sound could just fill the entire inside of the building. So, you know, it's amazing. And people loved having Don Ross play there. But now we're going to turn our attention to one of the most significant moments in Don Ross's career. In 2021, Don Ross was awarded the prestigious Walter Carson Prize for Excellence in the Performing Arts. And this award, administered by the Canada Council for the Arts, recognizes the highest level of artistic merit and distinguished career achievement by a Canadian professional artist in music, theater, or dance.
Whenever you're ready.
My name is Don Ross, and I have been a composer and performer for many years, since the late 80s. I've been at it full time. My background is kind of interesting, I guess. My father's a Scottish immigrant, and he met my Indigenous mother in Montreal. Well, I'm really proud to be a member of the Millbrook Mi'kmaq First Nation. I've never actually lived on the reserve. My parents did. My mother, of course, grew up there, and then later in life, she and my dad decided to move back. So I started visiting really regularly. I got to know the community a bit, and the chief and council, and it's a really good group of people. Over the years, they've been very supportive for not just myself, but they've helped my daughters with their education. So I really feel like I owe a lot to the community, especially since my wife and I decided first to move back to Nova Scotia, and now here to Prince Edward Island. You know, it's all Mi'kma'ki. It feels, there was just always something magical about this place. I think my music has been influenced very much by where I've lived. I grew up in a Francophone milieu, and I listened to a lot of musics that a lot of Anglo-Canadians and Americans would not necessarily have been familiar with. So I think that had a strong influence on me. But then I grew up in big cities, so it really opened me up to a whole lot of different musical influences. I did a bachelor's degree at York University in Toronto. And it was pretty incumbent that I start making money and having my own job. And then I applied and received a fairly major grant early on in my career in the late 80s. And I was finally able to say, okay, this is a sign that I am to quit the job. And happy to say, I've never had a straight job since. Through a lot of my career, because I was traveling so much, I found geography and human beings were sort of the most predominant reasons for being inspired to write a tune. And one way that I, fortunately, this is kind of cool. This is a new method I use to write more in the last 10 years or so. I started recording my own albums. So sometimes what I do is I'll be writing a piece of music and I'll come up with a bunch of ideas and I'll just say to myself, okay, I'm just going to freeform whatever comes to mind. And I just press play and record, and I'll just work on these ideas. I'll go back and listen to it and think, okay, well, idea 4 is pretty good, and idea 7 wasn't bad. And I'll start maybe editing those pieces together to see what they sound like. And I'll say, that's actually cool. And usually I'll say, okay, now I'll re-record it. Occasionally, though, it might be 16 minutes long. I cut it down to 10. I think, well, 10's too long, but it's starting to glue together better. And I'll keep whittling away and whittling away just with editing. So then I'd end up with a 4-minute really cool tune. So that's a really nice new way of working that I wouldn't have been able to do earlier in my career. Launching a career in the music industry is a totally different landscape now than it was when I started, that's for sure. You know, when Napster happened, suddenly the bottom fell out of the recording industry, and it's never really recovered. In fact, it's gotten smaller and smaller. A couple of summers ago, I'm driving along with my wife. She's driving the car. I'm sitting there sort of moaning about how difficult it's getting. And she said, well, would you consider going back to school? And I said, well, only if I can find an online master's program in orchestration, you know, for film, television. And yeah, as she's driving along, about 10 minutes later, I found the program that I ended up enrolling in. Ironically, even before my degree ended, I started getting offers to do film and television work, and it's been nonstop. I mean, I write more music now than I ever have, and it's become an everyday, full-time, very viable way to do it, and I'm really happy about that. I knew I'd been nominated for the Walter Carson Prize, and I knew that the music side only comes up once every 4 years. So that's kind of interesting, because it's not an annual prize. And the judges are your peers. That, to me, almost means more than anything else about the whole thing, is that it feels like a doff of the cap from them, you know? And that's a real privilege, because it makes you realize, okay, I don't just have fans, or I don't just have listeners or whatever. I also have people who are really discerning, who are making these decisions about things like this. On many levels, it's such an honor, really. I don't know what Canadians would do without organizations like the Council, because it's not just artists that benefit. It's, of course, the audiences that benefit the most, because Canada needs to have its own voice, its own culture, its own artistic activity. And if we don't invest in it, then it won't exist. So it's wonderful that in this day and age we have organizations like the Council, and that they are supported by governments and by population. It's great.
Well, to hear more of that signature style, we're going back in time about 28 years. The next track that we're going to have here on Historical Tracks is from the 1997 album that Don Ross produced called Loaded Leather Moonroof. And here's that title track.
Thank you.
Well, we just heard an incredible piece of acoustic rock guitar from Don Ross called Loaded Leather Moonroof. Now we're going to close out today's edition of the Historical Tracks with a look at the future of Don Ross's music. And while Don Ross continues to record and tour, the direction of his later work has often been described as elevation music. This title speaks to the spiritual and deeply emotional resonance of his compositions, often transcending in the usual boundaries of instrumental music, and his pieces often feel like a journey, full of peaks, valleys, and moments of quiet contemplation. It is a music that just does not entertain, but elevates the listener's mood and spirit. And as he continues his work in orchestration and cinematic scoring, the depth and complexity of his music continues to grow, ensuring his legacy as a global master of the guitar remains secure for years to come. And with that thought, we leave you with one final soaring track. This is Elevation Music.
Thank you. Hello, this is Ellie Sturton, this year's Arts News Coordinator and co-producer of CFRC Live Sessions and Release Radar Reels on Instagram. CFRC is thrilled to amplify local artists and musicians on our airwaves and social media, and to provide opportunities for them to get the word out about upcoming local concerts and events. Local really does live here at CFRC. Help us keep the magic going by making a donation to the station today via CFRC.ca. And thank you for your support.
The Kingston Potters Guild is holding their annual holiday sale in the Tet Center Malting Tower on November 20th, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Over 20 local potters will be in attendance. Visit us on Thursday from 5 till 9, Friday 10 till 7, Saturday 10 till 5, and Sunday 10 till 3. Come out and support one of the oldest pottery guilds in the province of Ontario, serving the Kingston community since 1967.
Thank you. Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC. Listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast to Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbours Saving Neighbours is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbours Saving Neighbours volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
Come up, Larry Bird, the Larry Legend. Go run the numbers up, we gon' come up in a second. Nails all done up, let me pull my bun up. We litty in the city, turned up until the sun up. We on demon time, scary hour. Like Mike, I go out some pies.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
My menace to society, I'm back in trouble, sex, I ain't going out quietly.
Look out!
Ooh, yeah. I've been real sensitive, and I can really blame you. Been so repetitive, banger after banger. This for our relations, I even love my haters. I've been thankful for creator, homie. You can thank me later, yeah. Up, up, in the way, couple hours till I land. I've been hungry all my life, you should see the dinner plans. I need something in my stomach, what's the yams for 100, man? These hunger pains been ugly, I'm a savage when I'm hungry. I'm just a kid from the reservation. When we eat, we need a reservation. Always late, never waiting. You never ate, grab a plate then. Osh, gosh, boy, peace sake. Rain raps are such a piece of cake. Ricky Bobby never pumped the brakes. Life's a rat race, shake a break. You know we been cooking, DJ Cook, I'm dropped a bomb on him. Snotty knows the business, you don't like it, call your mom on him. Honor what you eat, but I've never made no honor roll. Snotty knows forever, you could put that on my mama, bro. Eating good, I'm the meal ticket. You don't like it, learn to deal with it. I got the sauce, baby, got the dirty dishes. I've been hungry all my life, now my belly feel real different.
Different, real different.
Kids come up at supper time.
It's time to eat, baby.
Thunderbird fly, let my quake ready. Who my baba crave, dog, I put this on my granddaddy. No more spammy, baby, I've been going hammy, hammy. Brush the dirt up off my shoulder before I hit the Sandy family. I just cruise when I move, so I get there when I do. Light skin like Mama Dukes, ain't that the truth? I'm too beast for the zoos, ocean pin, swimming pools. Couple blues, make a couple screws loose. You ain't got a blues clue, my Nietzsche. Still think that I ain't got it, but I do, my Nietzsche. No drama, just another karma too, my Nietzsche. I'm cooler, pop cooler, now I'm cool, my Nietzsche.
It's what I do, baby.
Yo, you word them out, I'm ice cold like the North North when it's snowing out. I'm all in, no way out, we showing up and showing out. Truth hurts, baby, baby, now go ahead and walk it out, walk it out. Nietzsche, please, I ain't trying to beg. It's keep up or catch up, I'm on my second leg. I'm a dog, OGs call me tag, and I'm so f***ing humble, I don't even gotta brag, my Nietzsche. Two brains,
hey, Victor.
Funny how things change,
hey, Trickster.
The fruits of my labor got flavor. Did my time on the bench, now we major. Okay, what you saying, boy? Like a fed on the squad, I ain't playing, boy. A public enemy when I bring the noise. We be walking to our own drum, baby, we them boys. We about to eat, raise a toast for the speech. Get your ass up out your seats. Ain't no telling how long I've been waiting. It's amazing on my relations. Supper time, baby, let's feast.
Let's feast, baby.
I don't need unless the whole family eats. And that's facts, baby.
That's facts.
Kids come up for supper time.
I always be facts,
kids come up for supper time.
What you think it is?
You out for lunch. Are you rappers out of steam? You go on trees by the bunches. Got a hunch like Notre Dame. I'll ring you bell. You try to front. Ding. Out and about as a kid, I looked out for the street lights. Pout and fuss and ain't get it done. You wanna eat, right? Came with a spoon and a plate. I'm taking out your deep fry. Banging and jugging was never me, but I'ma steal mine. G-Crush, G5, champagne on a team flight. Besides, you lie. You can't even speak right. I was injured. Now I'm Mr. Clean. Hey, hop off the curb. Mama cook the beans right.
trying to come home, got an appetite like a bowl. I'm rapping, I need a bowl, and she arching it like a bow. And you tiny, they arch a bowl, then I'm hooping a bunch of bowls. I'm a star when I give you hope, and I'm sick of the Supper time, time to get it, you're at. Rap, rap, rap. Funnies wanna jump me, cause I'm jack. Get it, do, get it. Dummy hit a bumpy in the flat. Big dummy. Dummy, how I'm telling all these facts. Catch me at a table getting fat. Never share my cheese with a rat. You can come and kick it when we chat. But after that, you gotta go. You had your time, you had your chance. That was back in my hands. Call me Nick Cannon, starting my pants. Mama yelling at the window, come and eat your yams. Supper time, I'm hungry, I've been waiting for my chance. I've been washing my hands all my life, bro. I've been washing my hands every day. I've been washing my hands all my life.
Well, it's summertime, 2023, and we're happy to have all kinds of listeners back to Aboriginal Voices, our conversation. And Dr. Kristen Buckley is with us today. And Kristen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
And you know, it's interesting because you've been on Aboriginal Voices a few times for conversations, and people are requesting more from your ideas, especially when you're talking about actually being out on the land and what they could do. So we're going to share a couple of ideas today with our listeners about your experiences on the soil, playing with the soil, investigating the soil, and what we can do with that. So you all set?
I'm all set.
Yeah. Now, we're not out. We have to warn people. We're not outside right now because there are people with tractors nearby, and not to mention the birds and the squirrels are all out busy today. It's such a lovely summer day. It's too bad we couldn't go and spend some time in the soil talking about it, but we'll do it this way. That's why it doesn't sound noisy.
Yeah.
So are you having fun now with the kids outdoors and doing activities in the soil?
Yeah, so the most recent thing we've done is planted a garden down at our lake. And that was my oldest son's idea, and it stemmed from moving some things around. We had a wooden platform, and we moved it to a different location. And the soil underneath it was just so fluffy, and it was all churned up. It wasn't compacted, and it gets the morning sun. And that's why we were actually moving, so that our trailer wasn't in the morning sun. But it's great for a garden. So we decided to plant a garden there. And, it's been growing for a couple of weeks now.
So how did they decide to get it started? You know, because, you know, when you think about starting a garden plot, you know, my image is you would have to kind of clear off the soil or the plants that are in that soil and turn it all over. What did they do?
Well, when we moved the platform, it was all sort of turned up. You know, it wasn't sitting flat on the soil. So, and it was under a couple of trees, and I'm sure there's little creatures under there and pests under there churning up the soil for us. So it was kind of all prepped for us. And my son did a little bit of prepping, just digging into it, making sure that, you know, we could plant some seeds, and he dug some rows with a hoe. But it was fairly ready for us. The one thing that we did, because it was a bit late in the season to plant, is we planted seedlings that were started in the greenhouse. So we didn't try to plant any seeds in it. But it was fun to decide where to plant which plants. I know some people choose to plant based on like the light or shade that the vegetables need, or I've heard that you can plant things that taste good together grow well together. So
that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I heard that recently. So I'm not an expert gardener. I don't have years of expertise on what grows well together, but we decided to plant things in certain places based on best chance of survival. Because we don't live down there. We're not there all the time, and there's lots of birds and bunnies, and so we kind of strategized where to plant each plant based on best chance of survival. So we had one edge, had a little piece of fence, so we planted the tomatoes there so they could grow up the fence. Mm-hmm. And then we planted some peppers and some herbs and some lower growing vegetables in the middle. And then on the edges, we planted onions. I haven't seen too many pests eat up the onions before, so we thought that would be a good plant to plant on the edge, and then some zucchini and cucumbers on the other edge because we wanted them to spread out. Mm-hmm. But also they have their own defense mechanisms with, you know, the being prickly and things like that. So we kind of protected the smaller, maybe more vulnerable plants in the middle. And then we draped a net over those plants. And so we felt like the plants we planted around the edges would offer some protection. And then we covered the smaller ones. Just, there are lots of pests down there. And like I said, we're not there all that often right. to keep an eye on them. So.
And the pests you're talking about are four-legged creatures, winged creatures.
Yes, mostly. Not,
and then a few of those insects.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so it's been going for a couple of weeks, and it's going quite well, and we lifted the netting up off it. The plants are big enough now that they can probably fend for themselves, and we're keeping it watered with lake water and mostly rain, because it's been raining quite a bit. But
And with the water, it gives the boys an activity, right? Then mm-hmm. going, how much do we need to put on it? Do they just dump the water on, or do you use, like, a watering can, or...?
We didn't have a watering can this year, but we had the little pots that the plants came in, and they have the holes for drainage. Mm-hmm. And so we pour the water through those. It's like we made our own watering can, essentially, right. just so that it's not too harsh on the plants when they get the water poured on them.
So it's like simulating a rainfall.
That was the
other thing that I thought about when you first mentioned that there was a possibility, talking about the garden by the lake, that you would have a water source there all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just how often do you need to go and water them? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, and we really rely on nature as much as possible. So if it hasn't rained for a couple of days, we'll make a special trip to the lake to check on the plants and make sure that they're not dried out or need anything. So
I want to go back to your idea of planting plants that taste well together. So if I plant sage and thyme, do I add chickens to it? Because I love that on the chickens. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you might have to protect the sage from the chickens. We've had some chickens eat up our garden before. So.
Okay. Well, good advice. Thank you. Yeah. Now, the other thing, too, will be some of the plants that you're doing, and you're going to be harvesting it sometime in August and mm-hmm. September, right?
Yeah.
So what are the plans for harvesting? Have the boys come up with any ideas there?
I don't think we've planned that far ahead quite yet.
Okay.
No, but they do help their grandparents harvest their garden quite a bit, and so they were out actually pulling weeds yesterday morning.
So they're gaining some practical experience back with the grandparents, mm-hmm. and then they can decide when and how to go about doing that on their garden.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll come to me with their ideas about when it's ready to do it. They really do take the lead at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. And then you don't have to worry about it. You get to sit back and enjoy it grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the other part is adding compost to gardens. Now, the garden you're talking about near the lake probably doesn't need much because it hasn't been used as a garden.
Right.
And, and I know tomatoes, you have to move the tomatoes from spot to spot because they kind of deplete the what they need from soil.
So, right.
Yeah. So do you do composting or prepare for composting like that?
Yeah, my parents have quite a few gardens, and they've always composted a lot of food scraps and mixed it up with some straw sometimes and add it to the soil. What I have experience in is with eggshells and tea bags. Mm-hmm. I go through a lot of eggs, a lot of tea bags, and so we will just sort of dry them out on a pie plate, and you can kind of crunch them up, and the tea bags you can pull apart, but you can also plant them in. And some of the ideas behind that is that the eggshells can be deterrent to pests, especially slugs. Mm. Snails, you don't want to crawl over them. They also add calcium to the soil, and it lowers the pH levels. Not an expert in that, but it sounds good. And then the tea bags, they can be planted around the roots of the plants, and they retain water, so it can keep the roots moist. And also, I guess I've heard that the aromas can kind of keep pests away if you're, you know, using herbal tea bags.
With the tea bags, though, do you slice them open or cut them open so that they're actually open, or do you just literally just the tea bag and just put it in the ground?
You can do it both ways. So, you know, if you have the energy for it, you can tear them open and sprinkle it around. And if you don't, you can just kind of fill in pockets, dig a little hole and bury them in the soil a little bit.
Yeah, that's now. We're not going to do brands or anything like that for tea bags, but but that would be an interesting experiment to try with different plants, and which plants like, you know, the straight tea, you know, without the herbal teas, and then the herbal teas, and then you have to read the package to find out what's in an herbal tea.
Right. No, that sounds like a lot of fun. Actually, I can see us doing that. Yeah.
Especially in a new garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another project. Sorry, that'll be next year's project.
Yeah.
Collecting the tea
bags. Well, maybe
bags.
Later in the summer. I drink a lot of tea. We can do this anytime.
Good one. So was there anything else? Just a second. Sorry. Oh, wow. 10:45. So I'll just put pause. Well, Kristen Buckley, we're glad to have you telling stories about, you know, all the work you're doing with your garden and that sort of thing. But tell me a little bit about seeds and possibly saving seeds, you know, for next year. I know the boys aren't planning to do that yet, but, you know, you're thinking ahead of what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part that I would ask about seeds is, did you have to save seeds when you were a kid? Your parents make you do this too?
We didn't do a lot of it. We always saved pumpkin seeds. Mm. So, and that was great because we grew really large pumpkins. I remember one year our jack-o'-lantern could fit my little brother inside of it.
Oh.
So we wanted to save those seeds because you wanted to outdo yourself every year if you could grow a bigger one. So we always saved pumpkin seeds and some of the vine vegetables. Some squash and things like that. I started saving some tomato seeds. I found them hard to dry. They're really sort of gelatin around them and how to do that. And then some wildflower seeds or plants around the yard, I tried to save those one year. And that was fairly recent. That wasn't when I was younger. But it's something that I have tried to do recently. And so what I've done is just kind of laid them out somewhere where they could dry naturally. Usually pie plates are a really great option, and come and check on them and wait till they're dry before you store them. And so a lot of the time we store them in just like a white letter envelope.
Mm-hmm.
You can write on it and stick it someplace, you know, in a drawer or in a box on the shelf somewhere dry. And a few years ago, the boys and I started saving toilet paper rolls. And so, what am I going to do with all these toilet paper rolls? But they ended up being a great option for saving seeds. So the larger seeds, like pumpkin seeds, you could just staple the ends of them. You can write on them. The kids can decorate them as well, so it can be a fun little art activity. And then for the smaller seeds, you can just fold the edges and staple them or tape them down. And, we just try to remember where we put them so we can plant them the next year.
But you don't have a box marked seeds.
I should be more organized. You know, I put them somewhere I think they're going to be safe, and I can't remember where I put them. But we've planted, especially the flowers. You can kind of scatter those, or, you know, try to see if they'll, you know, take, you know, when you plant them, if they'll grow. And
When you label them, you label it with the name of the plant, mm-hmm. tomato seeds.
Yes.
Do you have different varieties of tomato seeds that you might keep, and then would you put that on as well, the variety, like Roma or cherry tomatoes?
Yeah, so a beefsteak tomato or the cherry tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And I always put the date on it as well. So we have pumpkin seeds from, like, 2018 that were maybe not as hopeful that they'll grow, but we have also ones from like 2020. So if you're going to plant one or the other, we plant maybe the more recent seed.
And you don't go to the garden plot and say, okay, here's this one's 2018 pumpkin seed, yeah, and then see which one actually comes up.
We should do more of that.
Yeah, sure. Well, you're bringing ideas to me as you talk about it.
Yeah. We had so many at that point.
Yes.
So, but yeah, we could always just plant a couple from each and do an experiment with it. Yeah.
Yeah, just to monitor it, yes.
Yeah.
And sort of the journal aspect of it would be, mm-hmm, we're only going to monitor these three plants.
Yeah.
But then I would suspect you'd have to mark them with something like a wooden stick in the ground with it, mm-hmm, that'll say, you know, 2018 pumpkin and 2020 pumpkin. And
Some popsicle sticks work great for that. I've also used like plastic cutlery. Mm-hmm. It endures the weather pretty well, and you stick it in the ground with a Sharpie written on the end of it. So that's one of my methods.
Good suggestions for some of our listeners who are, mm-hmm, thinking of ideas that they need to keep their youngsters active at home, especially with the summer now that school's out. Mm-hmm. You know, a little idea here and there, that would be fun.
Yeah.
So the toilet paper roll, and you just take one end of it, and you fold it over, mm-hmm, and either probably tape it, I would say.
The tape doesn't always stay,
okay,
so staples work better, but
okay,
it just depends on the size of the seed and how many staples you might need.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the outside, you can write on it, great for BLT.
Yeah.
Tomatoes, great for BLT.
Yeah, and stickers work great. And, you know, it's just a fun activity to decorate them.
I could just see a pigeonhole box, you know, create a pigeonhole box. And instead, mm-hmm, of jars going into the pigeonhole, you know, you put your tubes in. All the tomatoes are going to go on one side and squash and pumpkin and peppers. And, that's the teacher in me coming out, okay? Yeah, and with everybody, how do you keep it all organized?
Yeah.
Go on. What else did you have that you wanted to share quickly?
Just a couple of other toilet roll activities that we've done that we've really enjoyed. Our main one is fire starters. So we keep the toilet paper rolls and we collect dryer lint all winter. And we just stuff the toilet paper rolls with the dryer lint. And I usually get about a grocery bag full over the winter, and we'll take them out to the lake and, you know, light up two or three, and they're great fire starters. We don't have to bring scrap paper with us or newspaper. So that's our main one, and we've shared that with a lot of friends who are also doing it. Mm. And the other time that we've used them, it was for, like, candy hunts, like treasure hunts at Halloween. Mm. So we decorate them again, and I stuff them with some candy and hide them around the yard, and it's kind of like an egg hunt, but... you know, it's a Halloween one, and there's just lots of activities for the recycling toilet paper rolls, and you'll be surprised at how many you can recycle in a year.
Oh, okay. Recycle them because they're not found?
No. You go through more than you think you would go through.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. All right, Kristen, thank you very much. Appreciate this. We were going to have a special song just based on all the soil you're talking about, and we'll share this with everybody.
All right. I'm looking forward to the song. Thank you very much.
Broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall. I say, Carruthers, are you all right down there?
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Cataraqui on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Revolving Door on